Your favorite film is awful.
Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful, the show where we take your favorite films and defend them against negative reviews. As always, I am Luke MJ Powell, and with me, the only people that I would want to do with this. Like, it's so good to see them every week. It's so good, and I hope that you like to see them too. If you don't, just let me know. They can be gone. Like that, gone. If that's what you want, please, just let us know. And that, of course, is
Luke
Charlie
the Conqueror Mello. Is back.
The Conqueror is back. This is my show. This is my show. I am the king. And with me, my two dukes, my prince, my duke. You can decide amongst yourselves which one's which. It's Charlie Lilly.
How you doing, my man?
And Sean Grimsby.
Hola.
Hola. How you doing, guys?
I think we're doing all right, other than, you know, the more recent threat to our podcast lives.
Yep.
Empty yep. threats. I've said it multiple times. I couldn't do this without you guys. I mean, I could try.
Well, you say that,
probably
Luke,
wouldn't be
but...
any successful. Anyway, today we're doing Luca, the 2021, the new Disney Pixar film. You guys excited?
I am, but I thought you said Mallorca then. I was like, no, it's Luca.
We've all got a trip to Mallorca! No,
I would like to see the Mallorca version of, like, if it, like, just done the British Disney Pixar holiday film. Written and directed by Lee Evans.
Okay. Starring my nan, because she goes every year.
Nana Lily.
I don't have anything to make you pick. Charlie, you've done it twice in a row. You decide who's doing the plot for this film.
Oh, I mean, Sean's got to do it then, doesn't he?
My bottle.
Do you know what I'm going to do it? I love doing it. I mean, I do enjoy it.
Okay, Luca. Luca is the story of a young boy called Luca, who is actually what the film refers to as a sea monster. He lives under the water. It's kind of like the tale of a mermaid, merman kind of vibes. And when they leave the water, they actually are like humans and they take human form. His parents kind of say, don't ever go there. But he does, and he sets his eyes with his new friend, who's also a sea monster, on winning this race so that they could get a Vespa motorcycle and leave the kind of bad water world behind, I guess.
Water world, that was bad. We're not doing that film today.
Oh, no. No, we're going to...
The future, maybe. Who knows? Right, let's get into the review.
It's like reverse
review.
Nemo.
Reverse Nemo.
It's like reverse Finding Nemo.
Right, we've got Durst Nora, 1-star review. Watched exactly 26 minutes of this flick before I realised it was putting me in the awkward position of forcing me to think less of those who liked it. Sometimes ignorance is bliss. These creature designs are really repulsive.
First of all, I do want to say well done. What was her name? Sorry, something Durst?
Durst Nora.
Nora, well done Nora for escaping your brother Fred's shadow. That was a throwback joke. Anybody gets that, you're welcome.
There's someone out there like, yes!
New medal!
I would disagree with the designs being disgusting. I think they're actually too pretty. I would probably like them to be a bit more grotesque.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It's interesting. I think it's interesting that she got to the 26 minute mark because I have a lot of issues with the front of this film.
Okay.
As Charlie Lilly says, the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes. The first. They're most important.
They are very important. But I have to say, I kind of agree with Charlie. I feel like there's something about the animation style with the characters that didn't sit well with me. I'm not quite sure what it was. They almost had a varnished quality. I don't know if you've seen the most recent Rick and Morty episode where there's lots of different versions of Rick and Morty, and one of them is like a kind of like fuzzy-wuzzy, like Pinocchio-style family, and they've got this varnished wooden look to them, and that was the same thing that happened in Luca, and I happened to watch them right next, one after each other, and watching Rick and Morty kind of have fun with that, and like in a really stupid way, made it seem even more like profoundly bad in Luca for me. That said, right. as I expect from Pixar, the water stuff and the town design, even the blades of grass, like those details are impeccable.
Yeah, the animation is just incredible at this point. They're just getting better and better. And I know, you know what? I must bring it up every bloody animation podcast we do. But it's because it blew my mind about the, do you know the thing that they created in Toy Story 4 about it's to do with the light, isn't it? And the camera angle. Oh, what, do you know, and every time I forget as well, every time.
It's the thing they're using in video games now, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, what's it called? This isn't fun for the listeners, so we'll move on. But 4am when I wake up with the
always
raised.
I love that I've done this 3 times on the podcast. I thought I had it in my head that time. Just goes. As soon as the pressure's on.
It's just the way it is, isn't it? I also do love that it's those 3 sentences of the review are quite disconnected. It's if you like it, I think less of you. And creature design's bad. Like they're very disjointed.
It is funny when you find a movie like that, though, like that first one, you know, if you like this, I think less of you. I know there are a few movies that I have that opinion of.
I understand that.
Like, I really struggle to overcome how certain people can like certain things. I'm like, I'm always going to remember this when you tell me something's good or something's not good.
It's weird, that, isn't it? Because you can... I've had people where, like, I agree with a lot of movies on with stuff. But then I can meet someone and they can say they like this film that I don't like. And it's like immediately I know we don't have the same film taste. And then like I ask them about other movies they like. And I'm like, oh yeah, we really don't. And it's weird just from that one movie that you told me, I now know like the sort of films that you like. And I do not. it's interesting.
For me, the litmus test is always Interstellar.
Interesting.
Like I always, I'm always like, if someone tells me that they love Interstellar, I'm like, I'm gonna make a couple of assumptions about other movies that you think are amazing, and I'm fairly arrogantly confident I'm gonna be right.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I haven't participated in that litmus test yet because I've not watched it. Is this you not recommending it?
I think it's absolute trash.
Oh
wow! I wouldn't go that far. I don't think it's. I just don't. I think the third act maybe.
I really like from that first line of that film. I went, the first line from the first line of the film. I went to see it with my uncle. Shout out, Colin, and I said to him, "I bet you it's this. I don't know how we're gonna get there, but I bet you it's this. We got all the way there, and it weren't a fun journey."
I can confirm he did this because I rung him after seeing it.
I wanted to like this. Yeah. I tried so hard. Me was so high. I went 3 times. Yeah. 3 times because I was like, I want to like this. And
I've only seen it once. I want to rewatch it just because I feel like it's been enough time now. I'm going to rewatch it.
Well, guys, you've heard it first. If you want to see these two struggle,
there's so many people switched off.
Interstellar is our next recommendation.
They're like, Interstellar, what are you talking about? It's a masterpiece, and they just switched off.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, back to today's defending film, Luca. Second review. This is an extract from a longer review, and this one gave it a grade. And it got a grade C. Not out of stars, it got a grade C. So this is an extract from Adam Graham's review. First-time feature director Enrico Casarosa gets some mileage out of his Italian setting, and he includes copious shots of pasta and gelato eating. But the unquestionably thin story relies on routine morals about friendship, underdogs triumphing, and the importance of being one's true self, and fails to support even its own logic and world building. So it's 2 paragraphs. I forgot to mention that. Let's pause there. Do you have anything to say after that first paragraph?
I do have something to say, but can I first point out for the people watching this on YouTube, does it currently look like I have one giant arm and one tiny arm?
And for those only listening, Sean's mic is covering up half of his arm.
He's got arms like me now, like a T-Rex.
That doesn't make it better.
Like a T-Rex arm.
Okay, so I'm gonna get in on this. I agree with that review.
So did Charlie.
Trying
to defend it.
I have a real issue with this movie. In that I don't think it does a really good job. I don't think the world building up front is very good. I don't think it gives us. A great kind of character-driven story moment for us to latch onto to really want to go on this journey with Luca.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I watched this film in three parts. I took breaks. If I wasn't doing it for this podcast, I probably would have stopped watching it. I think in an age where not only has Pixar set a bar very, very high, but I think other companies have and also audiences have some sort of expectation now from animated movies to do something, whether it's, you know, that follows a story formula that is simple and has some wonderful morals, but does it in a really fun and interesting way. I think, you know, a perfect example of a film that recently came out that's animated, that Mitchells vs. the Machine, is a perfect film that I think is accessible for all ages, and has those things in spades, plus loads of original stuff. The film that I kept strangely drawing comparisons to with this is the first Shrek, also the second one, but, you know, essentially they're the same story about overcoming the person that you want to be perceived as and the person that you actually are, you know, like an ogre or a human person. And it's also the same separate story of two people that kind of don't really get along from different worlds. There we go. Struggled there. I'm having a stroke. It's essentially the same setup, and I found this one in certain places to be very lackluster. I agree with that review that says it's kind of like I'm expecting certain morals. I think there's some good morals in this film, but I do think that they were achieved in a really, really lazy way.
Interesting.
And I'm sure we'll get to it later, but also I found the film quite offensive as well.
Oh wow. Okay. Don't forget, you're defending the film, not stabbing it in the back.
Well, you know what? It's interesting to change the dynamic up a little bit, and I'm going to hand this off to my Bubba over here.
So, for those behind, for those not on the podcast, Sean and Charlie are both here because of their film knowledge, because they're the heavy hitters when it comes to that. So Charlie, this is all in your court to defend, because I can't do this on my own, but.
It's true. So I'm going to try my very best. The animation's great. I'm joking. You know what? I it was all right. I had a good time. Like it's got. I like the tension in that they could just have water chucked on them and they can turn back to the sea monsters.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. I think they gave us some nice scenes with that. I quite liked the bit where the dad, when he had, Joe didn't have the arm, and then he goes, oh, what, I got chopped off by a sea monster. He's like, no, I've had it like this since I was born. I like that because it was like kind of taking the mick out of that cliche that we've seen a million times. The dad, and he's got the arm because he's been attacked by a sea monster that he fought off, and now he seeks revenge, like very kind of How to Train a Dragon. And I feel like, yeah, I can't say I'd enjoy myself. Like, I kind of liked, I liked the dynamic between Luca and, is it Alberto?
Alberto.
Yeah. Alberto. I thought it was interesting. Julia. I liked him as a character, Alberto, because I thought he's quite true to a lot of people I know, who sort of very, feel like they have to make up for their losses in life by lying about things that they don't actually do. I thought that was nice. I like that, and I like that his arc, you know, not his arc, but like he ends up with, you know, him
the father figure.
Yeah, with the father figure. Yeah. I liked that. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, really?
I thought that was a little bit different.
Okay.
If I'm honest with you, I was expecting Luca to and Alberta to kiss. I don't know if I'm in the right thing here, but I
100%.
I thought it was like a love story.
There were quite a few reviews that I don't know if I included any because like the excess details of those reviews were all bloated with stuff that I can cover better in other reviews. But there was a lot of people that were screaming this was queer baiting.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting, like, you know, when Alberta runs off and then he meets him again.
Yes.
I was kind of expecting him to be like, yeah, like, I like you, dude, sort of thing.
No, yeah, I do see where that's coming from, and I think it would be a better film if it had the guts to do that. But I also think that ultimately, and I'm sorry, I'm switching teams here.
Don't do this.
I can't defend.
You got to defend it with me.
I found this film incredibly lazy. And I don't think it would ever have. I don't even think it occurred to them in the writer's room.
Well, in fairness, they're meant to be quite young. They're not meant to. Like, at no point did I ever think any character had a sexual thought in them. Never mind, like,
not necessarily sexual.
Yeah, I don't.
But
yeah, but I don't see.
I feel like it's the opportunity
thought.
I mean, oh no, I agree with you. But
yeah,
I think
saw it a lot more platonic. I know that there's a lot of.
No, I understand.
In my early memories of my youth, I had mainly like male friends, and so we'd run around fighting and shit. Like, and that was kind of that. It reminded me of that, where I'm not thinking of anything romantic. It's just two people exploring the world. And so, though I can understand the queer baitingness, I didn't see them at an age where that would even be a factor.
I agree with that. I think it was more... Sorry to jump in. Go on, finish your point.
I was just going to say that I can understand it because of Alberto's jealousy when Julia and Luca are getting closer. So, like, I can understand where queer baiting can be construed.
Yeah, I think it was I agree with you, and obviously now looking back, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. But I think it was just at the time I was watching it, I was like, I feel like we were lingering on shots for longer.
Mm.
You know, with them
addressing
each other and being very compassionate.
I agree with you. I don't think the film was ever going to do it. I don't think it's the film's fault that it's being necessarily read that way.
No.
But it's also one of those things that's like, I feel like my ultimate takeaway from this film is that it was lazy. And I feel like there was a meeting that could have happened at some point during the production process where this could have come up and they could have made an entirely different film. That did go down those avenues with potentially slightly older characters. I don't think that that's a problem with the film, though.
Yeah.
When you say the laziness of it, I think I know what you mean in terms of, is it because of the sort of the explanation of them and... the law of them in terms of, like, all I kept thinking the whole time was, why has there been a thing that's established that they want to kill these sea monsters? Like, why has no one ever done this before? In terms of, like, I didn't, if people have gone up in the world, surely someone's been caught for, there was things like that where I was kind of like, I don't understand the world enough to know how much these people don't like these sea monsters. And I feel like all the sea monster stuff, I could have done with a bit more.
I almost feel like could have told this story without the sea monster element and just a kid from out of town who's, do you know what I mean? And just like, and whose parents had like strict rules, but there's this sea monster element thrown in, which makes it seem a bit more zany and wacky, but there's no explanation. There's no exploration, of like the world building like the thing at the beginning where he's like fish farming. I'm like, what are the rules of this? I don't understand. Yeah, like, do they work
that
with money?
You.
Like, what's the thing going on? And there were moments in the film where I was like, oh, this could have some really cool exploration. There's a moment where the parents are walking around and they see a movie poster.
That was
from
great.
Like an old school like Creature from the Black Lagoon thing, and it's the uncle that we saw earlier on. I'm like, let's go explore. Like, what's that about?
Mm.
And it doesn't go anywhere with it. Mm. I feel like all of the morals of this film, all of the kind of storytelling tropes, that are present. I feel like I've seen them done in every other animation film, and I've seen it done a lot better because they take the time and the careful pause to kind of establish those rules, establish the world, and make it fun and drive the story forward. So I kind of, unfortunately, I've broken the rules of the show, but I'm in agreement with the review so far.
So Sean, you can just fuck off, because we don't...
It was me all along!
At least I was against films. I save it until the end. What's this bullshit?
No, I'm trying my best.
I'm sorry.
It's annoying because, like, Sean's saying things that I agree with. But I did like the movie more than Sean did. But everything you're saying, I agree with, and these were the problems I also had with the movie. Mm. That being said, I did like the dynamic between the three main characters, actually. I wasn't expecting the third... Was the character's, the lady's name again?
Julia.
To turn up. And I really liked that as a spanner in the works. And I thought I really liked how they all worked together. And I thought it was sweet seeing him... discover that the world's so much bigger than just the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, there's all this stuff out there. I'm trying my best here. Let's go.
I think it falls apart.
I liked it. I quite liked the simplistic world building and everything. Like, I don't feel I needed all that stuff. And to go back to one of our previous episodes, it doesn't remake the wheel. It is just like that casual sort of viewing. It's one of Pixar's shortest, so I don't feel... And though I agree that the first half is a bit lackluster, and then the second half is a bit... Well, the ending is a bit too quick. It's resolved really, really fucking quickly. I quite liked it as that, like, slow-building coming-of-age story. Like, it hurts me a little bit that you guys didn't enjoy it as much.
Now, you know how I felt when during Alien Covenant, right? I'm sitting there like, I was ready, everyone's going to love it this time, and it was me on my own.
Oh, dear.
Well, yeah, but at least you can, like, pull out some random film knowledge shit. I'm just sat here like, I like film, acting good, yay.
I do want to say that I'm really glad that you liked it. Obviously it gives the, you know, I didn't like it. I would give the film 2 out of 5.
Two's more than some of these reviews.
But like, ultimately, that's my take on it. If I had to review it for everyone, I would sit straight in the middle and go, this is a 3-star film. It isn't reinventing the wheel in any way, but it's it can breeze by in that way. For me, it had the opposite effect, and we'll get into that a little bit later on, I'm sure.
First, we'll finish Adam's review.
Come on, let's go.
You'll just agree with more, you bastards. For any other company, Luca would be underwhelming and easily forgettable. Coming from Pixar, however, long the golden standard in animation, it's a disappointment. Another sign that the studio's stamp is not what it once was. Toss this one back in the water.
Disagree with that.
I disagree with that because of Soul.
Yeah, 100%.
I thought Soul was great.
100%. Soul was a great movie, came out at the right time. And I think it's interesting because, you know, there is this level of expectation that we can have from a Pixar film. You know, for me, it's still a prestige kind of expectation that I have. Mm. But I think, you know, you watch the trailer for this movie, I was like, okay, they're doing something different. This, to me, felt like one of their shorts turned into a feature-length film.
Yes, yeah.
And that's fine. You know, I don't need to know, you know, what do feelings have when they have feelings? You know, I don't need that every... What about if music had feelings? You know, I don't need that every time. But I feel like if you're at least not going to... If you're at least going to try something a little bit more straightforward, I think you still have to try and get it as good as the other stuff. You know, like, this is not as good as How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I think it's because... I agree in the sense that I was, what I did like about it was that it wasn't, you know, this the existentialness that we've had with other Pixar movies. It was a bit more straightforward, a bit more linear in its telling, is what we're used to before. But I did also think, I couldn't help but keep thinking about the opening and how it's pretty much, if you think about it, the same as Finding Nemo, and how much Finding Nemo does that better, you know, in terms of the parent doesn't want to let the kid go out to this big ocean. Mm. In this sense, it's go out from onto the land. But I like, it didn't have that hook immediately, like Sean was saying, for us to really get behind this guy. The only if I'm honest with you, I kind of was on Alberta's side a lot of it. I thought he was more interesting as a character than the main character we were following. Mm. He had less, you know, he was more flawed as a character. And I was more intrigued with where he was going. I feel like the movie kind of takes away from him a little bit and goes more towards Luca and, is it Julia?
Yeah.
And I feel like we could have explored him a bit more. That's the stuff with his dad and stuff. I thought it was interesting. Like, where did he go? Like, he's obviously a monster as well. Why did he leave? Like, I don't know. I thought he was an interesting character, and I liked his relationship with Julia's father. I thought that was quite sweet, especially when the dad was like, "Oh, he's gone missing. When she's like, gone missing. He's like, "Well, right, well, we gotta go find him."
Yeah,
picks the torch up and stuff, and you could see that he got kind of sad when like he found out they hadn't come back. And I was like, okay, this is nice in terms of we've seen this, you know, the tough dad loads of times where he doesn't approve of anything and then he approves of things. But I liked that he was already quite approving at the start. And
yeah,
you know, I mean, I thought that was a nice difference. But yeah, it didn't really have, like, I'm struggling. Do you know what I mean? To come up with these things, because I think it's okay. I would like Sean was saying, I think it's like a freestyle kind of movie. I think it does all the things it needs to do. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think it does anything fresh or new. And yeah, it's a difficult one with this. It's a very difficult. I'm trying my best to defend it.
I think what we're doing here is, like, based on the review as well, it's trying to defend Pixar a little bit. And I think, you know, it's like it's impossible not to compare this to other Pixar films.
That's the
it's
problem.
A Pixar film. That's like, the problem. That's what that Pixar have set a bar for themselves, because, you know, they changed the face of animation and have continued to raise that bar in lots of different ways. And, you know, I've got nothing but respect for the company. I'm glad they're trying things. But I think the Finding Nemo comparison is really interesting, because there's a, you know, when you talk about setting a story in motion, Finding Nemo has a great thing. You find out why the parent doesn't want him to go there. You get shown it straight up, and you understand how that's a character-driven moment, both for Nemo and for Marlin, as to why the dad doesn't want it to happen, but why Nemo absolutely has to go and touch that boat. And through the course of that journey, they realise that push and pull of their relationship is something that they both have to change about themselves to find that balance. And I feel like this film doesn't explore that. We never, like, this whole sea monster myth could have been so much more, like, the opening could have been explored in such a more fun way.
I agree.
And I
don't know about you, but I think what I struggled with that kept bothering me was that the mum never said why he couldn't go up to the thing. She kept saying, don't go. And I never had a sense. I was with Luca in the sense that, why not? We can go up there. I know they're trying to hunt us, but, like, I turn into a human. I'm not a sea monster still. Like, I can pretty much blend in. And I think that was kind of, I was hoping, okay, maybe at the end she's going to explain, oh, your granddad got sliced up by one of them. He's over there or something. Do you know what I mean? But I just...
Well, yeah, but doesn't that was speak to real-world prejudices anyway? Like, your great-great-great-grandfather could have a problem, and that just cycles all the way down to you still having the same issue, but having forgotten what the issue was. I think I think it was like 2014 or something, they found out that two countries had been in war for hundreds of years because they'd just forgotten about the war, but they never signed a peace treaty. And so there'd be this, like, distaste between these two countries that neither one could remember why until they looked back through the history books and had to write a peace treaty and go, okay, the war's over. Let's be civil now.
That's crazy.
And I feel there are examples of that.
Yeah, I agree to some extent, but I think this film, you know, at the very end, the grandma, the mother of the mother, is just like, oh yeah, I come here all the time. So like, again, that film doesn't explore why the mother and the father have such a big issue with this. I guess if this film, and I do think it is aimed at slightly younger kids than Pixar's typical, you know, like mainstream fare, and easier to do because it got released on Disney Plus, not in cinemas. But I think there is, you could argue that there is that thing where parents just don't let you do stuff because they say so. Why can't I do it? Because I said so. Like, I suppose there is that element to it that we've all experienced that. But at the same time, it's like you can't use that as a narrative function in a story for an audience to grasp onto. Or maybe you can, because you know, from what I understand, this film's done very well and it's got quite a lot of reviews. But it troubled me.
I did like the aspect that if I'm now thinking about it, I do like the thought of the humans just immediately judging the sea monsters in that, like you said, that prejudice kind of way, without ever getting to know them, and obviously knowing that they could actually hang out, and it's been so long, because they're just the same as them essentially. But yeah, I just feel like that could have been explored a little bit more. But I do think that it does hit on that, and I think that's another reason why people were saying about the queer baiting thing, because I think it feels quite clear to me that it's also about, like you said, prejudices of coming out, of being gay. Do you know what I mean? In that sense of the sea monsters. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's another reason why people have obviously taken that, and why I kind of felt that it was going in that direction as well. Other than the themes that we've already established that the film tries to say, I'm also not quite sure what it wants to say. At the same point, if that makes sense. Like, I know it wants to say those things, but like, I feel like it's trying to say something else as well, but I don't know what, like, with what I just described.
I feel like it's treading water.
Hey.
Cool. Let's do another review. Yeah. This is another long one, so it's three paragraphs. I'll pause after each paragraph to let you say some stuff. This is from Courtney Small. I don't think this had a rating, and if it did, I forgot to note it down. So that's my fault, Courtney. So this is another extract. While the sense of adventure and discovery within the boys is palpable at times, the shine washes away as quickly as their human disguise in the rain. As charming as Luca is at times, the film is so enamored with its lush European setting that it never delves past its surface level approach to characters and story. Young kids will eat up this film like a freshly dipped biscotti, but adults will be left with a rather disappointing aftertaste. Paragraph one. And I feel that's kind of us.
Yeah. I think we've covered all of that, Gordon. Yeah. First of all, I'd like to say, if you do get a dog or have a child, please call it Biggie.
Don't Biggie. I hate being negative about movies on this podcast. As you know, we try to be positive about these films, but I can't not be honest and say that I do agree with that review there.
That's just paragraph one.
Let's jump on to paragraph. Yeah. Let's go straight to paragraph two.
Part of the disappointment stems from the fact that Luca pays so many homages to other films that it struggles to find its own unique voice. Some of the film's best moments come when Luca is embracing the limitless possibilities of his imagination, such as soaring in a sky filled with stars that look like fish, which feels straight out of a Studio Ghibli film. While Studio Ghibli is a clear influence on director Enrico Casarosa's work here, Luca never fully embraces the sense of world-building and boundary-pushing storytelling that makes those films so iconic.
Courtney, you're my girl. You're shouting everything out. I'm loving it. Keep going. Let's hear what she's got to say. I'm liking it. Let's get her on the podcast. Courtney, if you're listening.
Pausing very quickly, because that's not the only review I found that mentioned Studio Ghibli.
Interesting.
I just wanted to highlight that because one of the other reviewers that I watched, I believe, said that in the same way Studio Ghibli will have like its big masterpieces, it'll also have its smaller, quote unquote, filler films. Like the ones that they just wanted to put out, it's lighter, it's funner, it doesn't have that hard-hitting message, which I feel this kind of fits into that same sort of box for me.
But the difference is I still feel like Studio Ghibli, even with those movies, still has an emotional character.
Emotionally driven character stuff.
I guess, would you put The Wind Rises in that category of things that you were saying right then? Because I think The Wind Rises is... people sort of don't talk about that as one of the better Studio Ghibli movies, but I really liked that. I thought it was a movie. I thought it was really, like I said, it has the character emotion. Yeah, and I might have these big, crazy ideas and existential thoughts and stuff, but I thought it had a really sweet character and kind of, it was kind of adult in its handling of those emotions. Yeah. Whereas, this, it sort of does what we've seen before in other animations. It doesn't give us that. I'm trying my best here to defend
this thing. It's fine.
It's really hard. Like
I tried to throw up a defense and you were like, no, fuck off, Luke.
We never said that.
No, that's not in so many words.
Never.
In fact, I'm pretty sure what was said is I'm really glad that you enjoyed it.
That is true. We do. We are happy you enjoyed it.
Thank you. I'm happy I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, yes. Ultimately...
I didn't have a terrible time. I just think the movie's just, like... Flawed. Painfully kind of average at times.
Yeah.
I think it could have been better.
Yeah, I think that's frustration. I think that's the thing that really takes away from it for me, is that I think there's actually some really good stuff in here, and I feel like this is a really undercooked thing. I think this was being developed around the same time that John Lasseter was forced to leave the company. And I wonder how much of an impact that had on the development of the story, because I know that, and I think this is one of the reasons why Pixar films generally like work really well, is that that even though they end up getting written by one person, the development of them is much more like a TV show, and they have rooms of people, and it doesn't, like within reason, it doesn't necessarily matter who you are. I feel like this one, it felt to me as if I was watching that this one skipped that process somehow. And I looked up who wrote it afterwards, and it was two writers, one of whom is a guy called Jesse Armstrong, who wrote a book called Me, Earl and Dying Girl, and then adapted it into a movie, which was produced by a guy that I once worked for. And for me, the same problem with this, it was a movie where I don't think there's enough character-driven stuff here for me to care. And it feels like a problem with that I personally recognise that writer does with storytelling.
Because that's interesting, because I think Me and the Dying Girl has the opposite, in the sense I think it really deals with character emotions really well. And I think it really has the characters really well established. And it's funny now that you've said that, because now I'm kind of seeing, they've got that trio friendship that they have in Me and the Dying Girl. But I think they do that much better in that. And the conflict in that is a lot stronger.
It's a more adult film.
Yes, I mean, that is true. But in terms of... I mean, you could still do some of those themes in a lighter way in this movie. So I think that's very interesting, actually, that you pointed that out. What were you going to say, Luke? I was going to continue.
I didn't know if you'd finished.
Go for it.
Go on.
I'll continue the review. So this is the last paragraph. Furthermore, the film's message regarding accepting those who are different gets rather murky by the end. Casa Rosa unintentionally makes acceptance something that is both transactional by putting such emphasis on the competition and governed by a select few within the community. Being a Pixar film geared towards younger viewers, it is doubtful that the intended audience will think about the messaging with any great depth. Instead, they will be delighted by the sweet humour, colourful animation, and the scene-stealing sassy cat. Still, as breezy as the film is, one cannot help but feel a little underwhelmed by this trip to Italy.
I'm going to jump straight in there because this is one thing I did want to touch on. The Italy obsession. I watched part of this film with my friend Lucy, who is Italian.
Okay.
And I turned to her at one point, and I felt like the film was reinforcing some really like obvious stereotypes in a really negative way. And I turned to her and went, "Is this being quite kind of a little bit racist?" And she went, "Oh, absolutely." And the more that she watched, the more she was really like offended by it. I'm not Italian. I've been a couple of times. I really have like my time there. But the fact that I was picking up on that, and then like she was like confirming it for me. When we talk about younger audiences not necessarily recognizing this stuff, I do think that, you know, when we're talking about, you know, things like this, stereotypes and reinforcing things that, you know, as you've mentioned earlier, can sometimes be handed down for generations. This film can be generational for people. And it's, I do think there are some really negative, like really lazy stereotypes present in this film that...
Yeah.
You know, if kids don't know what things are at a certain age, so if it is for them, I think you have to be a little bit more careful about what you're doing. Mm. And I don't think that this film does that especially well.
Right. That is unfortunate because I know that, I haven't had that direct communication with an Italian based on this film. I only know that Enrico Casarosa is Italian himself, and he based... apparently this is loosely based on his own childhood experiences in a smaller village, which I can only assume maybe accentuated those stereotypes in which he grabbed it from. But it is that thing that... It's unfortunate that it has that negative... that it's doing it in a negatively stereotypical way, and it can be offensive, and people are going to grow up that way. And then... To play devil's advocate slightly, sometimes stereotypes are stereotypes because they exist in reality. Like, there will be some of those things that do occur. So I can understand, like, if this is truly based on his memory, maybe what we see, apart from the sea monster bit, could have been plucked straight out and it could be as fact. But the fact of the matter is, we've had at least... 10, 15, 20 years of his continued life, so he could have removed those stereotypes and made it less stereotypically to the negative.
Yeah, I mean, not all stereotypes are negative, and that is something that I think, you know, is often forgotten when we talk about stereotypes. But it's something I've noticed. It's strangely, it was a movie that I worked on. I had an issue when I saw an early previs of Isle of Dogs with some of the Japanese stuff, and I was sensitive. I'm not Japanese. I've never been there, but I was like, is some of this okay? I'm not sure. And for me, it's the use of the language, and it's like they are stereotypes that. Having not been there, not being Japanese, you know, like they are, I'm already aware of, should we be necessarily reinforcing them? Because I'm recognizing that some of them might not be good.
Yes.
I can give one example of this is when, you know, the Julia character repeatedly says mozzarella. And it's like, I sighed. I was just like, that for me is just, that's lazy. That's the kind of thing a 10-year-old would come up with.
I mean, in that thing, I think she changes the cheeses, and that's meant to be like a rule of three joke where she says what the cheese, but I entirely see your point.
Even just little things like, oh, we've got to include cycling, you know, like Italian velo, you know, we've got to include lots of different types of pasta in the in the food eating contest. It's like, you know, like it could have easily just have been pizza. And in some ways, I think that probably would have struck us a different note with me, because at least it's one thing instead of trying to shoehorn it in. I don't know. For a film that is trying to show you through the eyes of a young boy the wonders of the world, I feel like it was... I feel like it had its eyes closed a little bit to certain aspects of that wonderment.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... if handled differently, I could see that the different pastas could be like a celebration of variety of Italian cuisine, in that fact that they've taken something that we Brits just throw in some pasta, but they've perfected all these different types of pasta, and it's like, yay. But it's not handled in the best way to hold it as like a positive staple, and it is just that stereotypical Italians love their pasta. So no, I get it. I agree.
I mean, the only thing I would say is that I don't know about the how true that race is, and how, I mean, I imagine that pasta eating thing, is that real thing, or is that, do you know what I mean? I don't know, or is that something they added for the movie?
Because
I could see it, I don't know.
Real, it's one of those fun kid relay race things that I wouldn't bat an eyelid if it was true, and I'd understand if it was just a story point if it's not true.
But what I want to know is, quickly, I just want to know, you said this is based on the director's like younger life growing up there.
Yeah, he grew up in Genova for his early years.
I see. I just want to know, has anyone chucked water on him? I want to know, is he a sea monster?
Has anyone seen that man out in the rain?
That is true. I want to know.
I'm just saying.
Also, I kept thinking, the whole time I just kept thinking that the place where they are in Italy, maybe I'm being stereotypical here, but it kept reminding me of the place they go to in Aquaman.
That's exactly what I was thinking as we were watching
this. Really? I was thinking the same. It looked like the way it was set up, even like the way the bay was there with the little fountain.
I just kept thinking
about that.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Strangely, before I watched the film, I think I did, I'm not sure how, I knew that the director did grow up there. And I've actually been to the part of Italy where he's from, and it's a lot larger than that town.
Yes.
But it's very strange that the kind of entrance to the harbour in the movie is very, like, straight out of where he grew up. Mm. And I was just like, so there was a cool element to that, which again might have been one of the reasons I responded so negatively to the other aspects of it. Because I was like, oh, you're grounding some of this in the reality. Are you celebrating it? It felt like a very Americanized version of what they think Italy is, which in and of itself means that you're basing things on stereotypes.
I
it was interesting to learn that he spent his childhood there. He's not, I get he's the director, but he's not the only person responsible for every aspect of this story, you know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. But I just thought I'd flag it, and it was something that kind of left me feeling a bit odd.
That's entirely
that's fair.
I acknowledge your opinion, I understand your opinion, and I value your opinion. However, BP with an R one star. Okay, this
the
is going to be a shorter. BP. No, what? I didn't get that.
BP
joke.
British Petroleum, isn't it?
Okay, sure. This is a little bit of a callback. We've not had one of this type of review for a while. Went to my usual sites to try and find this type of review.
I couldn't
find this type of review where I normally find them, but I just randomly stumbled upon it on like the Google reviews, and it made me happy. And so
brilliant.
I will throw this at you as the closing review. Disturbing with other motives in the storytelling, covered up by a mediocre storyline. Clearly, devil lead. Hell is located at the bottom of the earth. No coincidence that the sea monsters have references to this. Not suitable to young viewers. As a Christian, I can see the truths behind this film. Shame on Disney Pixar using its power to be a bad influence. Totally corrupt and evil. Children should not have this deception entering their minds. Neither should adults. Disney Pixar have lost their roots. By no means were they perfect with influencing people before, but it still had purity and innocence. Now this is lost. The devil is using these corporations to corrupt the next generation.
Wow, shout out to Val Whittle for getting a letterboxed account and writing that review. Thanks so much.
That was I can't believe that there are Christians out there that look into movies that deeply. do you mean like to the point of like? No, but I can. That can you? Yeah. I mean, I mean, maybe, that is true.
People who are religious zealots do like to judge.
Yeah. That is true. I just can't believe
the lens you grew up with. You're gonna shine that same lens on everything else you consume. So, I get it.
Well, I was thinking. I just found it funny that
the usual like Christian site that I use to try and find some negative fun. They were all pretty positive there. They were all like, yeah, it's fun, it's lighthearted. But this one, that wasn't there.
Well, I think she probably really saw the gay allegory in it all and really didn't respond well to that.
Mm. Well, I think it was from more the devil worship at sea monsters.
From the sea monsters.
Sea monsters, yeah, are demons.
That's so weird that you could just... It's weird because it's like, oh, so you can't have any movies... with any sort of monster or anything, because that's the devil.
I think it's one of those that you can't have your sea monsters as heroes, because then it's devil worship. If the sea monster is a villain, then we take it down. We're taking down the devil, and it's good.
Because I feel like if you believe that this movie is made by the devil, then surely like you believe in like the Illuminati.
I was gonna say, you know what I mean? I think this woman has pictures of Gaston all over her, like, all over... I'm assuming this is a woman. All over her wall, because she's just like, yeah, kill the beast. Kill the beast!
It's true, like, it's weird.
The Italian cycle guy in this is essentially Gaston, though, right? He looks like him, he has the same arc as Gaston.
Is he like a skinny, little, like, ratty version?
He does, Gaston, like, he's got the big... He's got the little henchman, he goes after them, he's the one, I'm gonna kill the monster! I'm going to kill the beast! It's that him and Gaston, it's the same arc, exactly the same arc, except for this one, they didn't have the cojones to kill him off.
I disagree with that analogy.
Watch it again, I'm telling you, he doesn't ride a horse, he has a cycle.
Well, no, because
I thought that was funny.
That can now be like, no, Gaston was the hero in his mind. Like, that's what makes him such a good villain. Whilst this one, because it is that simplistic. It's like Eric, but it's not Eric. It's the Enrico? Italian version of Eric. No, Enrico's the director. They wouldn't name the, it's slightly different, but he's just a full on like childhood bully. Like we've all experienced when we're kids, just that. Dickhead. And it was nice.
What I thought was clever about the bike though was that it was funny when he like said something annoying and he like cycled off and he's like a bum was like like scooting her away, and I thought it was like the funniest, like sassiest moment. I thought it was quite a clever way they animated that. That did make me giggle. Sorry, Luke, I cut you up there. Carry on.
No, that's fine. So that was the last review. You can't really defend against such strong beliefs. But I wanted to present that as another.
I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, you know, we got to show everyone's critiques.
I love the way you said it. To be fair, that was the best part.
It was fun. Yeah,
definitely added a theatrical flair to it all, didn't I?
you went very like Red State with it. I loved it.
yeah.
Michael Park up in the house.
Right, you guys. Have not hidden your feelings well.
I did try.
Charlie tried harder than me.
I still feel like I said nothing.
I think you said some good points.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Sean's like, yeah, you did. Luke's like, no, you didn't.
No. there was one time, like one of those reviews, you did stay silent until. I was almost ready to just do the next review because I thought you just weren't going to say a word for that entire defense. But that's fine. That's fine. Because now, as a trio, I guess we have to agree to put it as like in the middle of the scale. Or because I think...
Oh, of the awesome awful.
Yeah, is it awful? The question of the episode, the title, is it any good? I'm going to go first and say... I enjoyed it. I can see it's... with this episode, I can see it's heavily flawed. So, once this is done, I'll probably knock off a star on my Letterboxd.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, really? Is that a win? Did I win? I won. Congratulations.
Wow. Well, no, because I'm it's I not gave competition, it five stars. I really enjoyed it. I had that as you walk out of the cinema and your eyes are glazed and you're like, this was the best thing I'd ever seen. Like, I had that type of shine to my eyes. when I did my review. So that was a mistake straight out the gate. But yeah, okay. So how far down is it going with you guys? Individually, how close to awful, terrible, badness is it for you two?
I mean, for me, I wouldn't say it's... Awful's a very strong word. I've seen a lot of awful movies, you know what I mean? This isn't an awful movie. It does all the things it needs to do. Mm-hmm. I just think it's a fine movie. I think it's okay. It does its job.
Okay, so we're saying, like, could have been scale?
I think why we've been harsh on it, I just feel like it could have been really good.
Mm.
I think it had something there. And like Sean said earlier, it felt undercooked for me.
Okay.
It felt like... I just needed more explanation behind things. I needed more reasons to care about this character and why he wants to go out there and why he's not allowed to. I couldn't stop thinking about that the whole way through. Why is he not allowed to? Do you know what I mean? Like, and why has life not developed sooner? Their friendship not developed sooner because of, you know, the aunt or the nan or whatever has done it before, and I understand the prejudice thing and stuff. I understand that, but like I said, it was left too vague for me to feel either way.
Yeah.
Okay. I just feel like it could have been stronger, but yeah, in that sense. But yeah, so fine.
I mean, is it awful? No. Is it awesome? No. It's all something.
Or something. That's it. We've done it.
I've tried to find the middle ground for this. For me personally, I'm never going to watch this film again. And I, if I had a child, I probably wouldn't show it to them. But that said, I think I said it earlier. I think it is a 3-star film.
I agree.
But I personally found it to be a real challenge.
Okay,
it sits at 2.
In the two. Okay, so that's awful.
Yeah.
Charlie,
maybe 2.5.
In the monochromatic, awesome or awful, you have the deciding vote. Say your thing. Do it quickly. We're running out of time.
As people don't know, you know, people seem to have forgotten.
It's too late.
There is nuance in the world, you know. No, things are black and white.
No.
But it's all something.
No, there is no all something.
Today there is.
This is the
We've got to have a middle. We've got to have a middle. No. We can't have a...
Donnie Darko, this come on. Life is more complicated than love and fear. Exactly. Okay, Miss Farmer.
No, you're right. And in that way, there are 3 of us, so it can never be a draw. So it is ever so slightly an awesome the end. Very quickly, what would you double bill this with? I'm thinking, like, your first thoughts, because we need to end the episode to keep it in that hour mark.
Okay.
Charlie.
Shrek.
Wow. So I'm going... Sean, Shrek, beautiful.
I'm going to go with what I said already, Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo? That's another similar. Pixar. That's not allowed. Get out of here.
Oh, why is that not allowed? Of course it is.
Because it's another Pixar. Every other double sequel, deal we've done, we've gone, you can't have John Wick. You can't have another Fast and Furious.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay.
The bicycle thieves.
The bicycle thieves. Okay, call me by your name. No, I'm joking. I feel like it kind of fits.
Yeah,
I'm
saying it.
Shout that.
Yeah.
I feel like call by your name.
Sentence reviews that was like, call me by your name, Luca, or variations.
Yeah, straight up.
I feel like I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I'll say that.
Cool. I'm going to go with Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's a better coming of age story.
Okay. Oh, coming of age, I see.
Yeah,
I see.
That's what it was for me. It was a simplistic coming of age story.
I see.
So yeah, another coming of age. Maybe watch this one first and have that one as your dessert, because it's older, but I feel it does handle it better, and it's a little less serious, I guess. It's not neither one of the serious. That one's just fun. I enjoy Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I'll probably rewatch before I watch Luke again, unfortunately. Great. But it is
there you go. Yes. Correct. John Hughes. That's where
Sean,
it's at.
The boy.
Plug us up. What?
He said socket.
At Sean Grimsey Films on Instagram. SeanGrimseyFilms.com if you want to see what I get up to with my camera and my editing, and as always, please check out the wonderfully talented my friend Matt Whittle, Full Fat Videos, Full Fat on the YouTubes.
Wonderful. Charles,
and you can find us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram as Your Favourite Film Is Awful. You can find us on Patreon, Your Favourite Film Is Awful. And you can also find us on Twitter at FavFilmIsAwful.
Exactly. So please like, share, subscribe, rewatch the Bo Burnham episode. It's, as of recording, it's doing very well. So, you know, maybe you've watched Bo Burnham recently and you want to give that one another view. Anyway,
come on, let's get it to a K. Let's do it, guys.
Maybe 2K by the time you listen to this. Who knows? That's praise. Thank you for watching, listening, joining us on this journey. That was surprising for me as the only person that was actually defending. Thank you and goodbye.
Take care.
Bye.
What's your favorite film? God, that's awful.
Favorite?
Awful. Awful.